Well, I'm really happy that we have Carson Middle School students here with us today. Everybody is from McCandless, and you're going to get a chance to meet our students from Carson Middle School, and then we're going to talk about the environment and in particular some projects they did recently. To begin, I want you to meet all six of the people that are here in the studio with us so that you have a sense of who's here. And I also want to give each of our students here with us this morning a chance to say hello. And if they have any shout outs they'd like to give or anything they'd like to pass along, this is the perfect time to do it. I'm getting their microphones set up with a couple little adjustments I need to make. There we go. We had a power outage here last week, and some little settings got lost, but I just fixed them, which is good because it means people are going to be able to hear you. Could you tell me your name, how old you are, and if you'd like to say hello to anybody?
I'm Yuki Chan. I'm in sixth grade, 12 years old, and I would like to give a shout out to Madison M. Ector. She also was in this project with me.
Excellent. And?
I'm Maggie Mu. I'm 14, and I'd like to give a shout out to our teacher, Miss Boyd, for making us do this project.
And next we'll meet you.
I'm Andrew McLaughlin, and I'm 14 years old, and Maria Schwendeman helped me on my project.
I'm Josephina Georgie. I'm 13 years old. I'm in seventh grade. I'd like to give a shout out to Penn Restorations and Shade Rose.
I'm Angel Q. I'm 11 years old, and I'd like to give a shout out to my parents for helping me on this project.
I'm Nicole Ment. I'm 12 years old, and I'm in seventh grade, and I'd like to give a shout out to my parents for helping me with this project.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the project. Can anybody tell me what the objective was, what you were asked to work on, generally speaking?
We were supposed to research somebody that was into STEM and also write a report about them and also draw a picture of them doing work.
Interesting. And for some people listening might not know STEM, so this would be somebody that was a scientist or engineer?
Yes.
And how did you choose? I'm curious who you chose first. What choices did you make?
I chose Ada Lovelace, who was the Countess of Lovelace, and she was credited for being the first computer scientist of history.
And what did you learn about her through the project, and how did you celebrate her life? What did you do?
She, from the beginning, she worked with Babbage's, Mr. Babbage's, and she wrote up a report about his analytical engine, which was the first calculator. And she had a theory that it could do more than just pure calculation, which led to the first computer. And I think celebrating her was a really good way to be thankful for all the technology we have right now.
Had you heard of her before this project?
I actually have not, and I think this really opened my eyes to what we have today.
That's great. Now, did you make a drawing of her, or how did you, what did you do in addition to researching her?
So, I never really did the publishing of the picture, but it was something that Madison and I, we did, but it was just basically researching from the point, but the drawing, we wish we could have submitted, but we couldn't.
So. Yeah, that would have been me, too, by the way. I would have spent all my time on researching and learning about the person. That's a great choice. Can somebody else tell me about the person they picked? We're going to look all the way over, and Nicole is going to tell us. Who did you pick?
I picked Rosalind Franklin and Sally Ride.
Now, I know Sally Ride. She's the astronaut, right?
Yes.
Can you tell me a bit about her?
Sally Ride was the first American woman in space, and she did a lot of experiments and things like that in space, and she started a lot of programs for middle schoolers to help them with STEM, and like teach them things about space and STEM.
And what prompted you to choose her, Nicole?
I was looking for a female and something that did something very important in science. And I was looking, and I didn't really hear of her before, but she did so much in the STEM field, I thought she deserved to get a paper.
Now, the person I haven't heard of is the other person you mentioned. Who is that?
That's Rosalind Franklin. She discovered the double helix in the DNA.
I had no idea. I always think of Watson and Crick for the DNA. Tell me about her.
She actually did a lot with discovering DNA too. She did x-rays and a lot of that.
And she doesn't get much notoriety.
Not really.
That's interesting.
Yes.
And so did you end up doing drawings or mostly the written research?
I did the written research and Josefina helped me with the drawing.
So Josefina, any special method you used to try to show what both of these women looked like?
I mean, like, I just kind of drew them, you know.
Yeah. What techniques did you use?
I used, like, you know, like the grid method, and, like colored pencils, just.
Oh, cool. So you basically created a kind of a facsimile or an identical picture as to what you saw. Did you choose these people as well, or did you also make choices?
Nicole just kind of told me what to draw.
That's a good team. I would have trouble drawing both of those. Who can tell me about another person they chose? We're going to go to... Andrew. Yeah. I almost said Alex, and I knew Alex was wrong. Andrew, who did you choose?
I did Andy Warhol.
Oh, what an interesting thought there. How come?
Well, just because being from Pittsburgh, he's such a Pittsburgh icon, I figured everyone would have some recognition of him. And really his art that he did, not just locally, but also... otherwise, it's really had a big impact on, like, pop art.
Well, and one of the things, you know, it's a STEM leader, but Andy Warhol used a lot of technical skills. And
I guess he did.
The idea of how he actually recreated so many works of art. He also was really big. Do you know, maybe research this. He used to walk around with a portable recorder all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Like in the pre-cell phone days, he still walked around because he liked talking to people. What else did you learn about him as you studied him?
I knew about his art, of course, but he's actually made tons and tons of films that I'm not sure if they've all or most of them have been released. You can see, but he did a lot of pioneering work in the film.
Have you been to the Warhol Museum?
No, I haven't. I actually want to, but hopefully one day I'll get there.
One thing, does anybody know how he used to archive his work, or at least how he cleaned off his desk? Has anybody seen that? So Andy Warhol, once a month, would take everything on his desk, clear it off, and put it into a box. And then he would label the box with the month and the year, get rid of it. And then he'd do that at the end of every month. They have all of those boxes at the museum. They call them time capsules. And every now and then they open one up. And sometimes, you know, all there is like a bill he got in the mail or something silly like a magazine. Sometimes there's a work of art or a letter from a famous person. You just never know. You heard about that?
Yeah. I think I saw that in a Pittsburgh documentary on TV or something.
Yeah, it's really neat. How did you now, Andy Warhol, that's a challenge. You want to do honor to him with the artistic part of it. What did you do?
Yeah, I didn't draw it. I just picked it and wrote the paper. And my partner, Maria, she made this really nice black and white pencil drawing of him. Really.
Excellent. Well, thank you for sharing that. What about you, Maggie?
I did this person called Claudia Kraft. She was, she studied volcanoes. And how I chose her is before I started this project, my mom bought me a book, and in it were 50 like women, famous women in, not really famous, women in STEM fields. And I was interested, but I didn't really want to read the entire thing in one sitting. So when this project came about and I had to choose a scientist, I kind of flipped to the first page I saw, and it landed on Katia Kraft. I read about her, and I was really inspired by her bravery, because how she studied volcanoes is she actually, with her husband, she went straight up to, like, basically the mouth of the volcano to study, like, lava and take mineral samples and such.
Wow. That is pretty daring to do that. She put herself at a lot of risk.
Yeah. It's actually how she died. She died doing what she loved when she was caught in, like, I think it's called a pyroclastic flow.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I had no idea. Do you know how old she was when she died?
No, I can't recall.
I wonder if she was young. I suspect she probably was.
Yeah, probably.
And what did you do for the art part? You mentioned, did you have a partner also?
No, I also did the art. She did films as well on, like, volcanoes and helping students learn about, like, the dangers and what they could do to keep safe. And so there were a couple pictures online, and I just kind of picked one and drew it based off of that picture.
Excellent. What about you, Angel? Can you tell me about who you picked?
So I picked this person named Chu Yuan. He was a Chinese poet, and it was back in the old days, like, I think 2,000 years ago, and he was one of the king's closest advisors. This was when China was divided into a bunch of kingdoms, and they were warring over dominance. And he knew that there was an alliance between his kingdom and another. And he told the king that it was a fake alliance, that if the king, like, tried to, like, think that if there was peace between them, he, like, the kingdom would be dominated. So, but the king did not believe him, so he was sent into exile, and he wrote a lot of poems that were really moving, and people they trusted him. But, like, the king, he still believed that the alliance was real. And when the kingdom was dominated, Chu Yuan, he just jumped off a bridge and committed suicide, because he knew that he had tried, but he'd failed to convince the king.
What an interesting story. You must have learned a lot about this person as you did the research. What about for your drawing?
So I drew him and, like, the bridge that he jumped off.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote the names of his, like, famous poems, and I drew them as rocks in the river to show that, like, although the river will always change over time, the rocks will still be there, and he will still have an impact on the world.
What a great way to represent him. If you're just joining us, you're hearing students from Carson Middle School, and they recently took part in a Fairchild Challenge program that challenged them to pick a person with a significance in a STEM field to write about them, and also to create a work of art to help commemorate them. Now, does anybody want to say anything? I have a few other things I'd like to ask you, but anything else about what you did in the Fairchild project, either about your person or about the process of doing it? Anybody miss anything they meant to say? Y'all did a great job. So I'm curious about your feelings about the environment in general and where we're heading. If you have anything you'd like to share, or maybe if you had a magic wand and could change human behavior or something that's currently going on, if you could change it to make the environment better, or to make your outlook on the environment better, if anything comes to mind. I was going to ask you, Josefina, I was curious, does anything, we'll get the mic near to you, does anything come to mind? I kind of saw your eyes light up as I said that. If you could change something to help make the environment better.
Maybe like have certain political figures acknowledge global warming.
That's absolutely. You know, I was talking to some students this week. What science classes I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but you've had to take a lot of science, right? At the age of 13, I mean, you've had science your whole life.
Yeah.
And you've learned certain facts about science. And it's got to be really frustrating to sometimes see these facts not acknowledged, right?
Yeah.
And that's a good – how do you think we could do that to get people to understand better?
Educate people?
Yeah, it's a good thought because some folks probably think these are theories more than actual fact. Does anybody have any other ideas about what you might do to change things? What do you think?
So I think like people in general, they should be like Josefina said, like educated in school or something about like the effects of global warming and how we should like prevent it. And like obviously there are groups out there that are trying to stop it, but I don't think it's one of the most like top things that we're trying to prevent and trying to like do about in everyday life.
Thanks, Angel. Anybody else? Sitting next to Angel, we're going to go back to Nicole.
I think if we just use reusable items instead of like plastic bottles or straws, we could just have like one bottle we use for every day, and then that would get rid of a lot of waste.
That's a good idea to think about how we individually contribute to waste. I occasionally get a bottle out of a vending machine, and we actually save that and fill it up again and again and again, and it seems to be fine. Any thoughts over on this end of the table? I'll turn to you, Yuki.
This has nothing to do with education, but I would think that people should see everybody as equal, such as LGBTQ plus people, or such as racial discrimination. I would like people to see them all as equal instead of discriminating their differences.
That's a great magic wand topic, and may I add to it? I think in addition to those differences, if everybody would just treat everybody more or less the same way and with equal dignity, as opposed to trying to size up people as to what can that person do for me, or you know, does that person have power and treating them in a different way. It would be nice if we treated everybody the same and strived to do that. Maggie, are you thinking of anything?
I think people would probably try to do more in trying to help the environment if we could educate them on how it would impact them like right now, because a lot of people they just don't see how it would impact them. Like for example, throwing away trash, it's like once you throw it away and it's picked up by the garbage truck, it's not your problem anymore, is sort of the mindset that a lot of people have.
Right. We look at, it's very hard to react to long-term, if the consequence is not going to be for a much longer time, it's hard to change your behavior now. Do you have any ideas on how you would do that?
A lot of things for me came from sort of watching educational videos and reading essays on like possible like where the world could end up because of all this stuff we're doing to it, and that kind of terrified me. And so that's kind of helped me see the world in a different light and what I could do to help it.
That's great, and you do have a lot of power to change things. I hope you feel that way. What were you thinking about, Andrew?
I was just thinking about how important recycling is to recycle those materials and then be used again, because so many times there's recycling bins but they don't actually end up getting recycled. They just get put in the trash. So it's really important, I feel, to actually go through. And for if people just recycled anything that could be recycled, you could save a lot of materials.
I read recently how hard it's becoming to recycle glass. Have any of you heard about that, about it being difficult because people are not separating it properly or simply rinsing out a container beforehand? And I didn't know about that until recently. And that's really upsetting because glass is so easy to recycle otherwise. Do you recycle it at school or?
Yeah, we do. We have a recycling bin. They do only say we can put like the milk bottles in there, but they do that. Actually, about 2 years ago, we made in class this big recycling mural out of recycled materials to go in front of the cafeteria. It had this big recycling symbol and all kinds of different things, bottle caps and pennies and old crayons. And so that's really amazing.
Excellent. Well, I knew this was going to go by quickly. Does anybody have anything else they wanted to add that you didn't get a chance to say about anything?
I think that we also need to, like, some people, they just throw away their, like, after they're done, like, cooking, they just throw their like, the banana peels and, like, apple peels and everything away. I think if, like, for our household, we save those and then we compost those, and in the summer, we just grow our own fruits and vegetables, and it's more organic that way, and we save money, and, like, there's no chemicals in it, so I think it's a better way to just get produce that way.
That's a great idea, and you could compost, but also try to make use of everything you get rather than throwing away, you know, but buying just what you need instead of having to throw things out if they spoil. Thanks, Angel. Anything else to add? Here comes another remark from Nicole.
I think that people think global warming is something that's happening in the future and not now. But they don't realize that global warming, it's happening right now, and what we're doing right now is affecting the present and the future.
That's a good point. And what are some of the effects now that we're seeing?
Well, the red tide down in Florida, and if you notice, it hasn't been snowing a lot around here in Pittsburgh. That's an effect. And it's also getting colder in some places because of global warming, and it's really just like messing everything up, and it's switching it around.
Yeah, and that effect could just become more and more pronounced as
yes.
time goes on. What do you think is a good way for somebody to educate themselves about global warming? Are there sources that you think are particularly good?
There's definitely a lot of articles online that you could read, like scientific, because people have been doing research about this for years, and they've been, like scientists, they have data to prove that global warming is if it's not like a definite thing, then it's something that we should definitely at least be concerned about.
And finding actual facts as opposed to editorials is the way to do it, right? Well, it's been so wonderful to have all of you here today. And I want to be sure everybody, we just have another second or two, everybody got everything important that you wanted to add. Well, thank you to Yuki, Nicole, Angel, Josephina, also Maggie and Andrew for being here today.